The hilltop faded, and Harry stood in Dumbledore's office, and something was making a terrible sound, like a wounded animal. Snape was slumped forward in a chair, and Dumbledore was standing over him, looking grim. After a moment or two, Snape raised his face, and he looked like a man who had lived 100 years of misery since leaving the wild hilltop.
"I thought you were going to keep her safe."
"She and James put their faith in the wrong person," said Dumbledore.
"Rather like you, Severus. Weren't you hoping that Lord Voldemort would spare her?"
Snape's breathing was shallow.
"Her boy survives," said Dumbledore.
With a tiny jerk of the head, Snape seemed to flick off an irksome fly.
"Her son lives. He has her eyes. Precisely her eyes. You remember the shape and color of Lily Evans's eyes, I am sure."
"Don't!"
bellowed Snape.
"Gone! Dead! Is this remorse, Severus?"
I wish I were dead."
"And what use would that be to anyone?" said Dumbledore coldly. "If you loved Lily Evans, if you truly loved her, then your way forward is clear."
Snape seemed to peer through a haze of pain, and Dumbledore's words appeared to take a long time to reach him.
"What? What do you mean? You know how and why she died. Make sure it was not in vain. Help me protect Lily's son."
"He does not need protection. The Dark Lord has gone."
"The Dark Lord will return, and Harry Potter will be in terrible danger when he does."
There was a long pause, and slowly Snape regained control of himself, mastered his own breathing. At last he said,
"Very well. Very well, but never, never tell Dumbledore. This must be between us. Swear it. I cannot bear, especially Potter's son. I want your word."
"My word, Severus, that I shall never reveal the best of you?"
Dumbledore sighed, looking down into Snape's ferocious, anguished face.
"If you insist."
The office dissolved, but reformed instantly. Snape was pacing up and down in front of Dumbledore.
"Mediocre, arrogant as his father, a determined rule-breaker, delighted to find himself famous, attention-seeking and impertinent."
"You see what you expect to see, Severus," said Dumbledore, without raising his eyes from a copy of Transfiguration Today. "Other teachers report that the boy is modest, likable, and reasonably talented. Personally, I find him an engaging child."
Dumbledore turned a page and said, without looking up,
"Keep an eye on Quirrell, won't you?"
A whirl of colour, and now everything darkened, and Snape and Dumbledore stood a little apart in the entrance hall, while the last stragglers from the Yule Ball passed them on their way to bed.
"Well,"
murmured Dumbledore,
"Karkaroff's mark is becoming darker too. He is panicking. He fears retribution. You know how much help he gave the Ministry after the Dark Lord fell?"
Snape looked sideways at Dumbledore's crooked-nosed profile.
"Karkaroff intends to flee if the mark burns."
"Does he?"
said Dumbledore softly, as Fleur Delacour and Roger Davis came giggling in from the grounds.
"And are you tempted to join him?"
"No,"
said Snape, his black eyes on Fleur's and Roger's retreating figures.
"I am not such a coward."
"No,"
agreed Dumbledore.
"You are a braver man by far than Igor Karkaroff. You know, I sometimes think we sought too soon."
He walked away, leaving Snape looking stricken. And now Harry stood in the headmaster's office yet again. It was nighttime, and Dumbledore sagged sideways in the throne-like chair behind the desk, apparently semi-conscious. His right hand dangled over the side, blackened and burned. Snape was muttering incantations, pointing his wand at the wrist of the hand, while with his left hand he tipped a goblet full of thick golden potion down Dumbledore's throat. After a moment or two, Dumbledore's eyelids fluttered and opened.
"Why," said Snape, without preamble, "why did you put on that ring? It carries a curse. Surely you realized that. Why even touch it?"